Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Kaya Quinto is the new executive director of Juno Housing First Collaborative, also known as the Glory Hall. The Glory Hall provides shelter space for unhoused people and also owns 64 permanent supportive housing units, long-term housing with financial assistance and healthcare access. Quinto's only 23, but she's been working at the shelter for a couple of years under the guidance of the former director, Maria Levishek. KTOO spoke with her about what she learned in her time working at the shelter so far and what's to come for the organization.
As the executive director, what roles and responsibilities do you take on here?
So my main responsibility is working with the board of directors and just making sure that the entire organization stays afloat and running the shelter day to day.
How did you first get involved in this organization?
I applied 3 years ago at the suggestion of my dad, who was a downtown walk-in JPD officer, and he really got to know all the individuals at the Glory Hall when it was downtown and had really good rapport with them. And so I got to know a lot of the patrons just from through him and also from working downtown during the summer. And yeah, I just really knew that I like wanted to be in some kind of social work field. And so I applied here in 2021, and now here I am.
What have you learned in your 3 years working with the Glory Hall?
So much. Maria has just taught me like everything. I've learned so much from Maria, and I've learned a lot of patience. To listen. I've become a very good listener.
What are some of the challenges that the Glory Hall and Housing First face?
I think that one of the biggest challenges is just the general lack of affordable housing. I think it impacts us as an organization and also our clients and our patrons. We have, like, a person can have funding to get a home, but there's just nothing available. So it's not like a people can't afford it type of situation. Like, there's just nothing available.
And I know the recent apartments on Franklin Avenue have been a way to address that. Can I ask what helping with that project was like?
It was really exciting. I didn't join it until the construction started, but I did help everybody move in, and it's really exciting to just see those 7 apartments filled and people being at home.
Is the Glory Hall working on any other projects like the apartments on Franklin now?
We are building phase 3 of Forget Me Not Manor, which is going to add 20 more units, or 28 more units. To Housing First, so that's 28 more homes, which is really exciting.
What have you learned from working with Maria Levishek in the time that she's been here and you guys have worked together?
I have learned so much. I didn't know anything about permanent supportive housing. Like, when I first started working here, I thought it was just, like, the Glory Hall, like, a shelter for people experiencing homelessness, and I've learned, like, how much collaboration is needed, like, between the Glory Hall and all the other organizations, and I've learned a lot of how to be a professional from Maria. Yeah, she's just taught me everything.
What are some things that the Glory Hall needs from the city or the community to move forward with the work that you do?
I just would ask that you, like, are compassionate, like, towards our clients, and I would ask also that, like, you just think about how much, like, we do impact, like, every single person's lives.
That was Kaya Quinto, the new executive director of Juno Housing First Collaborative, also called the Glory Hall. And a coalition of Southeast Alaska tribes is asking for a pause on reopening a large gold and silver mine near the Canadian border. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, they're asking an international human rights group to step in and help pressure the British Columbia government.
For many years, tribes in Southeast Alaska have been concerned with nearby mining projects across the border in British Columbia. The headwaters of three major rivers, the Taku near Juneau, the Stikine near Wrangell, and the Unik near Ketchikan, are in BC but flow into Southeast watersheds. Louis Wagner lives in Metlakatla near the mouth of the Unik.
Oh, there's already two mines working, and a third one, which could be the second to the third largest mine in the world, and where they're going to put their retaining wall for their mining tailings is pretty scary.
He's talking about the Eskay Creek mine, a large gold and silver mine up a Unik tributary. An underground mine produced gold there in the 90s. The mine's new owner, Skeena Resources, wants to start again, using open pit extraction, and estimates it will produce millions of ounces of silver and gold over a dozen years. The company plans to build a tailings dam to hold millions of tons of mine waste forever. But Wagner says the Unik River's ecosystem is too vulnerable.
During the spring and summer, the water is so shallow, it really can't handle any pollution. Doggone, we lose all our wildlife. It'll be lost forever.
Wagner is part of the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission, which represents 17 tribes in Southeast and has been fighting the mine's development and others like it. This month, the commission requested a pause in mining operations because they fear the mine's waste could contaminate the river. Their worries stem from past events. 10 years ago, a tailings dam broke at BC's Mount Polley mine, spilling millions of gallons of mine waste into a nearby river that supported Southeast Alaska salmon runs. The BC government declined to sanction the mining company over the spill. The commission says the BC government hasn't heard their concerns. They've been working with attorneys from the nonprofit environmental group Earth Justice, including May Manupit Patpong.
Really, the crux of this case is just to ensure that these SEITC member tribes who could be potentially impacted by this project have a voice in the process and are not sidelined just because they are on the other side of an arbitrarily drawn border.
In an email, David Karn with BC's Ministry of the Environment declined to comment, saying it would be inappropriate for government to provide any further commentary at this time because the proceedings are ongoing. Earth Justice is looking to a D.C.-based human rights organization to help out. They submitted a 47-page request to the International American Commission on Human Rights to pause the Eskay mine. The request calls the mine's impacts serious and a foreseeable, imminent, and significant threat. Manupit Patpong says B.C. law requires informed consent from Alaska's nearby tribes because their ancestors have historically used the Unik watershed.
Hoping that the commission can pressure BC and Canada to do the right thing. Of course, as an international body, they can't force them to, but we are attempting to use this mechanism just as another way to get BC to listen.
The legality of the transboundary mines has long been controversial. Nearly a decade ago, Alaska and BC signed a memorandum of understanding to increase the state's role in transboundary mine decisions. But those discussions haven't continued, at least not publicly. A few years ago, the tribes conducted a study documenting their ancestral use of the watershed. It was financed by Rewild, an international conservation group. Since then, Rewild has been backing the tribe's efforts. Rewild works in over 80 countries and touts well-known actor Leonardo DiCaprio as a founder. Nina Hadley is with the organization.
You know, we're particularly interested in protecting the Alaska-BC-Columbia transboundary region because it's among the North America's top ecological hotspots.
Rewild credits the region's indigenous populations for safeguarding biodiversity for thousands of years. That's one reason they support deep consultation between Canada and the downriver tribes.
And what I mean by that is a formal dialogue between the tribes and the BC government that aims to build trust, that aims to build respect, and aims to build that shared responsibility. That kind of consultation is just not happening.
Hadley says time is limited. The Eskay mine's owner completed a feasibility study last year and is waiting on the government to release an environmental assessment any time now. BC already has an agreement with the Canadian tribe, Tahltan Central Government, which owns the territory near the mine. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And it's 69 degrees and sunny this afternoon in Juneau. Tonight might get a little bit more cloudy with a low of 51 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.